Chapter 8, Coruscant, Galactic Alliance Guard Building. Alana opened her eyes. In front of her was the corner of the bed she was lying on, a plain bed, its mattress very soft and comfortable, but old-fashioned, not adjusting its shape to her as she moved. Beyond it was a bare brown wall, its simulated wood pattern hard to make out in the dim light of half-shadowed glow rods. She didn't know this place. She rolled over to see the whole room, and there he was, seated in a chair by the bed, tall and handsome, wearing his black uniform, his eyes so bright and intent they almost frightened her. But she shouldn't be frightened of him. He was her mother's friend. She held out her arms.
Jason.
His face twitched a little when she called his name, but he came to her and held her.
Alana, you slept a long time.
Where am I?
Her voice was muffled against his shoulder. He drew back to look at her again, and now his eyes were normal.
You're on Coruscant.
Where's Mommy?
She's back on Hapes.
Alana fidgeted, and, reluctance on his face, Jason released her.
Why is she there and not here?
You don't remember?
She shook her head.
Bad people came to your palace. They wanted to hurt you and your mother.
Like before?
Jason nodded.
They used coma gas, which puts people to sleep. Since you're little, it put you to sleep for a long time. I had just arrived there for a visit. Your mother thought you'd be safer if you came home with me. That way, the bad people won't know where you are.
Oh.
That made sense, but her mother had said that anyone Alana was going to be sent away with like that, even if there wasn't time for a goodbye, would know the special words. And Jason hadn't said the special words yet.
Can I talk to Mommy on the holocom?
Jason shook his head.
Not yet. The bad people could trace the transmission. Do you know what that means?
Alana nodded.
Like following a trail of breadcrumbs.
Exactly. That would lead them right here, which would undo all the good your mommy and I have done. So we'll just have to stay hidden for a while. But I'm arranging to have all sorts of things brought here for you to play with. Toys and gadgets and musical instruments.
And friends?
Not yet. Soon, I hope. I'll have a droid friend for you tomorrow.
He gave her another hug.
I've got to go, but I'll be watching through that holocam.
He pointed straight up, but Alana could see nothing on the ceiling there.
So you'll always be safe. Just call for me if you need anything.
All right.
She watched him leave, then lay down again. And she wondered how long it would be before Jason remembered the special words, and what she should do if he never said them.
Coruscant, beneath the Galactic Alliance Government District. There were five of them, Jedi all, ranging in experience from a teenage girl to a graying veteran who had first seen action as a stormtrooper serving Palpatine's Empire. Valin Horn, son of Corran, breathed a sigh of relief that he was not at the low end of the age ranking. In his late 20s, he was, by a statistical accident that seemed to plague him, often paired with much older Jedi. Here, Master Kyle Katarn was indeed his senior, by some 40-odd years, but the Faleen male Thon Mithrik and the Bothan female Kolir Hulya were both his junior by several months, and the human girl leading them, Siha, was youngest of all. Not that seniority mattered much on a mission like this.
Valen was just pleased that he was getting old enough not to be at the bottom of every age sorting. All five Jedi wore matte black garments that covered them from neck to toes. The material, slick against abrasive surfaces like duracrete and metal drainage pipes, retained heat in cold surroundings like water, but radiated it in warmer environments. The Jedi carried, and sometimes, as now, dragged or pushed, packs containing their lightsabers, robes that could be folded into very compact bundles, other weapons, and climbing equipment, none of which was likely to help them at the moment, as they wriggled their way like worms along a damp, constricting waste fluids pipe. Siha had said that it hadn't served its intended purpose in all the time she had been alive, but cracks all over the ancient city infrastructure allowed water from other pipelines to leak in, some of it foul-smelling, and Siha had told them that during a fierce rain, pipes like this could be flooded and washed clean.
"Don't worry," she'd said. "If there's a flood, we'll have a few moments' warning. You just whip out your lightsabers and cut a hole in the pipe."
"Can you whip out your lightsaber, Kolir?"
Valen made his whisper loud enough to carry to the ears of the Bothan, who crawled before him. All he could see of her were her black-clad feet and lower legs, barely discernible in the light from the glow rod tucked behind his ear. Her voice, a low growl, floated back to him.
"Quiet, you!"
"Just asking. Polite conversation. You're not claustrophobic, are you?"
"No."
"Because that would account for your irritability."
"So would hunger. And you're beginning to sound a lot like red meat."
"When we're done here, I'd be happy to treat you to dinner."
"Sons of famous fathers do have to try harder. To compensate."
Valen grinned. At least she could banter. He heard a familiar buzzing noise from ahead and stopped to listen. Yes, it was a lightsaber, but not being used in haste. Kolir stopped too. The buzz went on for nearly a minute, then ceased. Kolir finally passed back the news.
"Siha reached a new obstacle, a metal grate. She was using her lightsaber to cut through it."
"Her lightsaber, which I suppose she dropped, and now she needs to borrow one."
Very distantly, he heard Siha's voice.
"I heard that."
Then Kolir was crawling forward again, and Valen followed. Moments later, he wriggled out through the newly opened, still warm end of the tube and dropped lightly to a duracrete floor 2 meters down. Here, too, there were no working glow rods, but at least he could stand upright. He stood aside to let Mithrik drop beside him. Valen glanced around. The others had smudges of grease and filth on their faces. Kolir's tan fur was matted and encrusted in places. Mithrik's ponytail had a spherical six-legged bug climbing through it. Valen assumed he himself looked equally unappetizing. Siha, the least filthy of them, glanced around to get her bearings.
"We're inside the second security zone, under the plaza approach to the Senate building."
She pointed in the general direction the pipe end faced.
"That way is toward the Senate building. If we keep going, we run into the innermost ring of security, the thickest concentration of sensors. It's not that they're especially hard to get past individually, just that there are so many with overlapping coverages that it's practically impossible to disable them all or get through them undetected. It could be done, but even someone with much better skills than mine would take weeks to do it."
Master Katarn nodded as if satisfied.
"Staging from here will be fine. Though it would be better if we had several lines of sight and firing positions."
Siha gestured forward and up, toward a dark vertical shaft accessed by durasteel rungs inset into the permacrete.
That's the closest one. There will be a sensor at the access hatch, but we can disable it. I can take you laterally to 3 or 4 similar spots, each with a view of the front entrance.
Katarn considered.
I need to have the position closest to Colonel Solo's usual approach to the building. We'll spread out among all the accesses. Siha, I want every one of us to be able to find our way back to this spot by touch. And this will be your station, too. Your job is to stay alive, stay here, and get us all out, regardless of whether the mission is a success or a catastrophic failure.
Siha nodded, clearly intimidated by the responsibility placed on her.